Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on grace versus the law was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, in the fourth chapter, I'm going to show you this. We'll turn over there and read some of these this morning. But Jesus, the Lord, was still walking and talking with man in the fourth chapter. He was still extending mercy. God did not withdraw from man. He sent man from the garden, it says specifically, so they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever. Some people see that as a punishment, but actually, if you understand it properly, it's mercy. It's the goodness of God. Some of you may have a hard time embracing that. I don't want to spend all morning trying to make this point, but it's because God loved us that He didn't want us living forever in a corrupted body.
Amen.
For those who understand and accept the atonement that Jesus brought, did you know we've got a better life coming? Even most Christians are very short-sighted and they don't think about eternity the way we should, and we just think about this life and we look at dying as the end, but it's not. It's the beginning of a better life. It is so much better. You know, there's this show out that I like entitled Tuck Everlasting. I don't know if any of you ever saw that, but it's about a family that found this water and drank it and they couldn't die. And they were like 180 years old and they were miserable. They were miserable. And one of the lines in there that I like is he says, you know, there's life all around us. He was looking at the trees and the birds and he says, there's life and everything's growing and changing and then it dies and new life comes. And he says, but we just are. We're like a rock. And it really showed the vanity of living forever and how bad it would be. I know that a lot of people think, man, you do everything you can to extend your life, but we've got something better coming. Can you imagine what it would be like for a person who was born mentally retarded to live for 10,000 years mentally retarded and somebody have to take care of them for the rest of their life? They couldn't die. Can you imagine what it would be like to have all of the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and all of the people that just gave themselves over to demons and are demon-possessed? Can you imagine what it'd be like to have all of those people alive and there's no way for the world to ever be purged of that evil and for it to be over? Man, God provided something better. The Lord did not want us living forever. He didn't want people to be blind and deaf and hurt and in pain and cancer just destroying their body, and yet it's impossible for them to die. Have all of these problems and yet impossible to exit this life. He provided something better for those who would accept His sacrifice that He was going to make for the earth. He did not want us living forever in these corrupted, sinful bodies, racked with discouragement and pain and all of these kind of things. And it was the love and the mercy and the goodness of God that drove men out of the garden, not because He wanted them to be away from Him. In the fourth chapter, He's still walking and talking and fellowshipping with man. It was to get man away from the tree of life because He loved them and He had something better planned for them than living forever in a corrupted, sinful body. They had a different attitude than most people think. This isn't rejection. This isn't punishment. This is actually an act of love. It's actually God having mercy and pity on His own creation. And then in the fourth chapter, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now think about this. How did Cain and Abel know to bring offerings? There isn't anything recorded in these passages of Scripture that God had instructed offerings. There is no reason that He would have instructed Adam and Eve about offerings in the garden because they didn't have any sin and there was no need for offerings. Where did they get this instruction about offerings? Well, the logical answer right here, He talks to them in an audible voice. The logical answer is God was still talking with men. He was still revealing himself to men. He hadn't just kicked them out and now God had nothing to do with the human race. See, that's an assumption that people make. But again, I say that it was love that he drove them out of the garden and God was still walking and talking with them. Some people say that Abel's offering was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice and Cain's was a offering of his first fruits, and that's the reason it wasn't accepted. Well, it is true that a blood sacrifice is the only thing that can cover sins, but the scripture tells us that we're supposed to bring the first fruits of our ground, and it's prescribed under the law. I don't believe that it was the substance that was the problem. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It wasn't the substance, it was the attitude of the heart. But where did Cain get this revelation? You could say that Abel saw it by example in the third chapter, because when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal, slayed an animal, and took the skins of the animal to make clothes for Adam and Eve. So there was a type of that, and you could say that they saw the necessity for something being killed to cover their sins. But where did Cain come up with this offering of the first fruits that was commanded in Scripture 2,000 years later? How did he know these things? It's not just intuitive. It's apparent that God was still talking with them, and the fact that they came and offered sacrifices, the fact that they offered the first fruits of the ground and all of these things are indicative that God was still talking to man. You don't see any difference in God between the fourth chapter and the third chapter. God changed their location because he didn't want them to live forever in that sinful state, but he was still walking and talking with them. And then it says that he had acceptance of Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's. How did he show that one was accepted and one was rejected? If two people came here and offered a sacrifice, how would you know that one was right and one was wrong? Well, it's obvious that he talked to them in an audible voice. God was still present. God was still manifesting himself unto people. Second generation, he was giving them instructions about what was the right way to live. And there was still communication and interaction between God and man. And he showed that one sacrifice was accepted and one was wrong. And when Cain got upset, he killed his brother Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, and this is before he killed his brother, in verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now we just read this and don't think about it. How did the Lord say this to him? He wasn't born again. He wasn't hearing this through his spirit. God was talking to him in an audible voice. God was still present. Here were sinful men that God was still fellowshipping with and talking to in an audible voice. God did not cut them off and excommunicate them and have nothing to do with them in the fourth chapter from the third chapter. God was still dealing in mankind. You know why? Because until the law, God wasn't imputing sin. He wasn't holding sin against them. He was still talking with sinful men in the fourth chapter the same way that he talked to sinless men in the third chapter. God did not change. He was not imputing their sins unto them. He was being merciful to them. Does that mean that he didn't have an opinion? No, he told Cain, you're wrong. Abel, you're right. There was still right and wrong, but God was being merciful to people. And then Cain got mad, killed his brother. And in verse 9 it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now you're going to have to think here for just a minute. I'm sorry to make you think. Most people come to a church service and you just want to be entertained or fired up or inspired or have a goosebump go up and down your spine, but don't think. But if you'd use your head for something besides a hat rack, you could get a lot out of Scripture. Here's Cain. He killed his brother, the first murderer on the face of the earth. Now today, I've heard a statistic that the average child, when they graduate from high school, has seen in excess of 250,000 brutal murders on television or in movies. And so we have an insensitivity, a hardness of our heart in this area that Cain couldn't have had because he didn't have television and all this. He had never seen a murder. There had never been a murder. Nobody had ever killed anybody. And here's the very first person on the face of the earth to kill another person. And while he's still got blood on his hands, an audible voice out of heaven says, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he just puts his hands behind his back and says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" You know what? That reveals a lot. Let me just ask you this. If you killed somebody and an audible voice out of heaven says, "What have you done?" They wouldn't have to arrest most of you. You'd die on the spot. You'd die of a heart attack. For Cain just to put his hands behind his back and say, "I don't know where Abel is. Am I my brother's keeper?" That familiarity reveals a lot. It shows that he was not surprised. It wasn't abnormal or unusual to hear the audible voice of God. God was talking to Cain and Abel all of the time. And they were now grown men. They were in their 30s. This is over 30 years after sin had entered the world. And here's God still talking in an audible voice with people. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to take the time, but if you want to follow it, God was still talking with people up until the time that the law was given. And when Moses went up to the mountain before he received the law, there came an audible voice. And when the people heard it, they were so afraid, they cried out to Moses and says, "Don't let God talk to us. He's holy. We're unholy. We'll die in his presence." And Moses had to take God's word and says, "The people can't stand your voice. They can't stand this." God was once again wanting to draw the entire nation of Israel back into this intimacy that he started man with. And Israel said, "No, we can't stand it. Don't let God talk to us." And so God gave the law instead. It wasn't God's first will to give the law. He could have given the law to Adam and Eve. They were used to having him talk to them in an audible voice. It wouldn't have surprised them. They were used to all of this.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on Grace versus the Law. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Minneapolis Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM241C for CD or RM241D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to direct you towards our website. And you can not only get this teaching that I'm doing this week, but I have all of my teachings listed there, and about 300 or 400 of my teachings are available to you as free MP3 downloads. I mean, it's a great website. You can get a lot of ministry there. I have my Bible commentary, about 12,000-15,000 verses that I've written commentary on there. You can get that. We also have our living commentary where you get monthly updates on my notes that I'm writing. I also have a guest book that I try and read every day, and I would really like to hear the comments of people about how the ministry is blessing you. So please join us at awmi.net.